Okay, so a very quick review of where we're up to in our series on Amir al-Akam and asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Step number one, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Whatever's usher for you to do on Shabbos, whatever you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you can't just have it done by asking a non-Jew to do it. That's number one. Number two, anything that a non-Jew does for a Jew on Shabbos is usher to benefit. It is usher to benefit from that malacha. So say you're sitting in a room, it's dark, you would like to read, a non-Jew comes in, he's a kind man, he turns the light on for you, you're not allowed to read in that room because he did that malacha for you.
Did you ask him?
He didn't even ask him, he just did it for you. Okay, we're going to get through the sources soon. The third topic that we discussed was that while this is all true, there are cases where there are exceptions. And the last shiur that we had was a whole dispute amongst many of the different Rishonim, the different commentaries, as to which cases, under which circumstances, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. The driving force behind it all was that there is a mitzvah that you need to accomplish, and you are being withheld by the fact that there is an isser to do it. So let's take an example. The Gemara's example was there was a child who needed to have a bris milah, needed to have a circumcision, and he couldn't do it because of health concerns for the child. They needed to have hot water. Now, they didn't have hot water, and they couldn't bring it because there was no Erev, so they couldn't carry, and they couldn't boil the water where they were. So the Gemara in Erevin says they asked a non-Jew to bring the water. So from that Gemara, which is really not even clear, because the Gemara doesn't even say anything about a bris milah, it just says it was a child who needed water, from there started a whole discussion of, this Gemara says clearly that they asked a non-Jew to bring the water. That means that there are certain exceptions to the rules of when you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. And we basically mentioned five different opinions, all the way starting from any time there's a mitzvah, any time your motivation to get this done is a mitzvah, or it's oneg Shabbos, or there's just a very pressing need, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it, regardless of what the action is. Whether it's an Isser Midoraisa, whether it's an Isser Midorabanan, it's always mutter. That was the opinion of the Baal Itter that Aaron brought up before. And then it goes all the way to the other side, which is the most chamor, the most stringent, is that it's only specifically talking about a case where there's a child who needs to have a bris milah. And since there are psukim already which taught us that bris milah is something which takes precedence over Shabbos, will perform a bris milah on Shabbos. So therefore, in a case of a bris milah, you're allowed to go ahead and ask a non-Jew to do a malacha. And then there was the middle-of-the-road opinion, which is the Rambam, which is the most standard approach that we have, is asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos is an isser midrabana. So if the action that you're asking him to do is only prohibited midrabanan, so in other words, you're stacking on two isur midrabanan, in such a case, we can be matter it. We will permit you to ask the non-Jew to do it, as long as it's motivated by either someone who's not feeling well, not somebody who's sick, someone who's not feeling well, or it's for Oneg Shabbos, or there's any other pressing need. That's the standard approach. We did mention that for Ashkenazim, the Ramah does have a kula. He goes all the way. He's makel, he in certain cases, but again, only when there's a real pressing need for it. That was what we discussed in previous weeks. Now, what we're going to discuss this week is a very important topic, because the topic is, under what circumstances can we say that if a non-Jew does something for a Jew, that it's permissible to benefit from it anyway? And why is it so important? The reason why it's so important is because in many cases that a Rav will not want to permit asking a non-Jew explicitly to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, the solution will be to hint it to the non-Jew. We always know there's all kinds of hints that you're going to use. But you have to always keep in mind that whenever you're hinting something to a non-Jew, the reason why you're hinting it to him is because you don't want to ask him. If it's usher for you to ask him, then we always have a problem that if it's usher to ask, then I can't benefit from the malacha. So what does it help for me to tell the non-Jew, oh, by the way, it's really cold in the room, or, you know, it's quite dark upstairs? What's that going to help? Because if he turns the light on, I can't benefit from the light. So what we have to do is we have to first establish under what circumstances can you benefit from halacha that a non-Jew does for you on Shabbos. That's the topic of today's discussion, and Meretz Hashem next week we'll discuss what type of remiza, what type of hinting a person can use to ask a non-Jew to get a non-Jew to do malacha for Manshavas. So the first thing, the first category, I titled it under Hana'a Mu'etes, which means it's a very minor amount of benefit that you gain from this non-Jew. The Halacha Aleph of the Rambam is really an introduction to the topic of Amir Lakam. Halacha Beis says as follows, and now I'm just going to, by way of disclaimer, throughout the Rambam, through different prints, the different publications use different terms to refer to non-Jews. Some of them use the word Goy, some of them used Akum, some used Nachri, and some used Einon Yehudi. What you see on my paper is what I took off my computer of Bar Ilan. Okay? That print uses the word Goy. Okay? So we're going to read it as it is, but again, no, we don't have any political opinions about this here, okay? Goy she'asa malacha me'atzmei b'Shabbos im b'shvil Yisrael asa oisa, a non-Jew who performs a malacha by himself on Shabbos, says the Rambam, im b'shvil Yisrael asa oisa, if he did it for a non-Jew, asa li'hanes b'oisa malacha ad mitzvah Shabbos v'yamte b'chdei she'yasa. You cannot benefit from that malacha, and not only that, you have to wait after Shabbos, the amount of time it would have taken, the amount of time it took for the non-Jew to perform that malacha. V'hu, let's skip this line because it's a topic for later. Go to the underlined portion if you want a source that we have over here. V'im b'shvil atzmai bilvad asa mutter lehanes b'Shabbos. If the non-Jew did it for himself, he didn't do it for you, he did it for himself. There's no problem of a Jew benefiting from it. So that's step number one. When the non-Jew does it for himself, there's no problem of another Jew benefiting from it. That is, and he gives an example in halacha number three. Ketzad, how would this play out? Goy shehidlik saner mishtamash l'ayri Yisrael. A non-Jew turns on a light, a Jew can use that. V'im b'shvi Yisrael, if he lit the candle specifically for a Jew, aser. Similarly, also goy kevesh l'ayri boy, he made a ramp to come off of a ship. Layered by Minasvini, come off of a ship. Yered Acher of Yisrael, the Mishvil Yisrael Aser. So the bottom line is the theme that we're seeing in this Rambam, and this comes straight from a Mishnah, which we'll see soon, is anytime a non-Jew does a malacha for himself, a Jew is allowed to benefit from that because it's not done for the Jew. In source number two, this is Agayis Maimini, it's one of the commentaries in the Rambam. Skip to the part where it's underlined, and he writes as follows: V'im ner echa doylek b'Shabbos. You already have a light on Shabbos. Hvidlik nachri oid harbe ayesh delekes vehirba alea nachri oid mutter li Yisrael yehanes b'menu. Says that guy's family something very, very important. Let's just give an example. You're in a room and there's a nightlight on. So you can't really read very well. It's just not providing very good light for you. But you can get by. So now what happens? Comes along the non-Jew and he turns on all the lights in the room, all the fluorescents go on. Says that Goyis Maimini, no problem. Since you really could have benefited from the light in the beginning, it wasn't good, it wasn't quality, it wasn't what you really would like to read with, but ultimately there was light in the room, so you could benefit from that as well, because he just added to what you already have. The same thing is true if you're dealing with heat. You know, there's a little bit of heat on, so it's not sufficient for what you need in the room. Now, heat, we discussed last week also, many times heat is going to be mutter anyway, because when it's cold, people are viewed as a chola. We consider, and again, under most circumstances, for sure for children, when it's cold, we view children in general, the needs of children, we view them as a chola, because they need it. They can't survive in the cold. Not that they'll die, but it's considered a chola. It's not a chola sheyesh bo sakana, but it's a chola sheyesh bo sakana. They're severely uncomfortable, and therefore, so, but again, but a person who's not in a situation where he's considered to be sick, if there is some fire lit in the room, but it's not enough, and the non-Jew comes and adds to it, you're allowed to benefit from what he adds on. So that's principle number one. If there is already something that you can benefit from, and the non-Jew just added to it, you're allowed to benefit from that, even if he did it specifically for the Jew. Says the Torah, source number three. And he paskins this, the halacha. It's the underlying portion of source number 3. Vim yesh ner bebeis Yisrael. If you had a fire which is kindled in the house of a Jew, uba akum, and a non-Jew came, you see we started from source number 1, where we started with a guy, he turned into a nachri in source number 2, and now he's an akum in source number 3. Okay? So, we have an Ein Yehudi soon also. So now, yesh, you have a fire which is in the house of a Jew, uba akum v'hidlik oida acheres. A non-Jew came and he lit another one. Mutter l'shtamish l'oira. You're allowed to use that fire. Why? Kiven debalav ze hayasham ner. There already was fire. So the fact that he lit it for you can't ruin it. You can't say that now you can't benefit at all. Aval, but he adds in a very important caveat. Aval la'achar sheyich beharishon aser l'shtamish l'ora sheni. V'cheinu nosin shemen b'ner hadolak yochel l'shtamish b'at sheyich l'shemen chayi b'kvar. So basically what he says is very simple. If you have a light that's on already, and you can benefit, even if it's not quality light, you can benefit from it. The fact that the non-Jew comes and improves the quality by lighting more lights, that doesn't ruin it for you. Since you could have ultimately benefited from the original candle in the first place, so it doesn't get any worse the fact that the non-Jew made more light for you. Caveat is, once your original fire goes out, which nowadays, thank God, we're not our lights generally not on a time clock, they're not going out, and therefore you would not have that problem, and as long as that light stays on, you can continue to benefit.
What about the other way, dimming? You have good light on, and then he dims it.
So you'd be quite upset at him. I mean,
so no bad.
You want to know if you can go to sleep now. Maybe you couldn't sleep. Okay, we'll discuss it soon. So that's number one.
Negative hana?
Yeah.
Negative.
So that's, yeah, some people like it to be dark, you know. So that's number one. First rule, first exception to the rule is, again, the rule being when a non-Jew does a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, the Jew is not allowed to benefit from it. Exception, if he was able to benefit before he started, and it's just now he's making it better for him, so that's not a problem. You're allowed to benefit from that extra light that he provides for you. The caveat is, no problem, yeah. The caveat is that as soon as your first candle would have gone out, that's when you have to stop benefiting from it. That's exception number one. Exception number two is source number 4, where it's possible you could have done this beheter. You could have accomplished what you have right now through all the legal loopholes. But what happened? The non-Jew, he wasn't interested in following through it. He went and said, you know what, I'll just do it straight out. This is the case. The Mishnah is Mishnah and Shabbos. It's a Mishnah which is the source where a Jew is not allowed to benefit from the malach of a non-Jew. It's source number 4. The Mishnah says as follows: Nachri shehidlik esaner, a non-Jew lights a fire. Mishtamish la'er Yisrael, a Jew is allowed to benefit from it. Vimishvi Yisrael, if he lit it with the explicit intent for the Jew, aser. Same thing is true. Mila mayim. This is the important line here. Mila mayim, and notice the words there. Mila mayim. He filled up a bucket of water. Lahashkos behemto. For what purpose? To feed his animals. Now notice it says behemto, his animals. It doesn't say for him to take a drink himself. He filled up a jug of water from the well to feed his animals. Mashka achra of Yisrael, the Jew is allowed to allow his animals to drink from it as well. Vimishvi Yisrael, aser. If he explicitly went and got the water for the Jew, it's aser. What's the problem here? It goes from one rishos to the next. It's an iser of haitzah. So that is the problem. Now, Tosfos right away, he addresses this issue. He says, why does the Mishnah talk about getting water from a well for an animal? Why focus on the animal? Why can we discuss if he got the water for himself? Says Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, midenakat behemto, from the fact that the Mishnah chose to discuss in animal, v'lonakat milamayim la'atzmo, he didn't choose to talk about a case where he's filling it up for himself. Why dafka lahashkos behemto aser? It's very specific. It's only in a case where we're talking about an animal. You know why? Shem shlohe yachol lahavi l'tocha bar. He couldn't take his cow and bring it down to the bottom of the well to get the water, because he'll never get the animal back up, or the animal maybe will never make it down to the bottom alive. However, aval hu atzmo, he himself, he could climb down. He could climb down and get the water. Shari demetapas viola metapas viorit. He could climb and get on a ladder, whatever he'll have, the spokes, the spikes in the wall of the well, he can get it himself. So the Jew himself could have climbed down into the well to get the water himself. So the fact that the non-Jew made it easier for him is the non-Jew's business. But ultimately, the Jew could have gotten this water through an entirely permissible fashion. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's specifically talking about an animal. An animal, you cannot take your cow to the bottom of the well. But if you would have gotten the water for the Jew, then it would have been fine because the Jew could have ultimately done it on his own.
Is that a Matthias case of whether you can actually use that specific bar and get it done, or is it the general principle?
I don't know if we would judge on every specific person's climbing skills, but yes, if it's possible for the general people to go get it, then yes, then it would be mutter. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Vari, go a little further in Tosfos. Vari, I don't want to get into his whole svara, but clearly just to point out Vari, Omer, Tehu Adin Yisrael Atzmi Aser, it's, don't get bogged down in the word Behemto, it would be Aser for a person as well. And he explains the reason why we discussed an animal. We'll leave that aside. He says we discussed an animal for a specific reason because we wanted to bring about another point. But ultimately, what this Tosfos brings for us is a machlekes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, whether it's a fundamental disagreement between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, if the fact that you could have done it in another way, is that enough to say that if the non-Jew did it in a prohibited fashion, then now can I or can I not benefit from this? This is Rabbeinu Tam. If I could have done it on my own, and the non-Jew decided to do it through a different fashion, that's his own business, and I could benefit from it. The Ri says it's not true. Ultimately, the non-Jew violated, he didn't violate because he doesn't have to keep Shabbos, but he did what would be a violation of Haitzah. He carried on Shabbos, therefore you cannot benefit from it on Shabbos. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch, source number 6. This is in Siman Shin Chaf Hei, Sif Yud. I'm sorry, Eli, we started without you. In Siman Shin Chaf Hei, Sif Yud, how does the Mechaber paskin? Eino Yehudi, Shemil Amayin Lebehemto, Mibar Shai Rishus HaYachid, he went into a well, which is in Rishus HaYachid, in private domain. Where did he carry it? He carried it to Rishus HaRabim, to a public domain. Mutter LeYisrael LaHashkos Mehem Behemto, the Jew is allowed to allow his animal to drink from it. Why? Because he did it for himself, the non-Jew did it for himself. Who? She'ein Ha'ein Yehudi Makiro. Let's leave this point aside. They're talking about a case where the non-Jew is not good friends with the Jew, so it's not assumed he did it for the Jew. And it's also, we don't have to worry that he's going to get more for the Jew. However, says the Mechaber, says Shulchan Aruch, which is generally the opinion of the Sfardim, the milu l'tzarach pehemes Yisrael, if he filled it up for the sake of a Jewish animal, aser b'kol minei tashem shafili Yisrael achar. The water is aser with any use. He doesn't just say that the animals can't drink from it. No use at all. You can't drink it. Your animal can't drink it. You can't use it to wash your face. It is aser to benefit. It is prohibited to benefit from this water with any fashion at all. Clearly, the Mechaber is paskening like the opinion of the Ri, and the fact that I could have gotten this water on my own through a fashion of heter does not help me. Says the Rama, V'yesh makilin v'omrim, there are those who are meikel, who are lenient. And they say, da'af imhuva derech reshus harabim, even if it comes through a derech reshus harabim, letzarech Yisrael, for the sake of a Jew, mutter la'odam lishus me'am, a person can't drink from it. Why? Hayel v'efshar le'lech shamal lishus. Since the person, his mobile, he's able to go get it, therefore, he is able to drink the water. The fact that the non-Jew violated the Isra of Haitzah does not bother us, because the Jew could have walked there, he could have taken a drink there, and he wouldn't have violated anything. Therefore, the fact that the non-Jew brought it is not a problem.
We're assuming when the Jew drank what the non-Jew already took out, it's already in one rishus.
He brought
no other. Once it's out of the well, from.
Yeah, he brought it. He brought it to your house.
Fine. I just wanted to understand.
Yeah. Now, at the end of this Ramah, he says, it's after a little samach and a parenthetical samach over there. He says, "V'afa pishesh lahachmir v'davar." Even though one should ultimately be machmer in this, because of the opinion of the Ri, become mokom in luchas be'adam mekilim tzeruch Shabbos b'shasat chak. The Hayesh Lakal, again, this is the Rama moving his own opinion. The Rama was very meikel when it came to Amir la'akum for a purpose of benefiting for Shabbos, but ultimately the Rama says, I am going to acknowledge that there is a machlekes between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. Even though I'm telling you that one can ultimately rely on the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, one should only rely on the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam in a case where it is really necessary. If you look at the Mishnah Brura, he explains everything we just said over here. Go to source number 8. Ule'inin dina. Halachically speaking, Mishnah Brura is speaking over here, the Chafetz Chaim. Ha'ikar kedei arishon. How should we paskin, like the first opinion of the Mechaber? Dehudas kol arishonim. Most of the opinions in the Rishonim are aligned with the Ri. V'chein mashma mehagra v'tos the Shabbos. However, he sticks in. V'rak l'tzorach gadol l'tzorach Shabbos yeshlisme chazel l'hakol v'motze Shabbos yeshlahat miyad v'chol gavne. So says the Mishnah Brura, ultimately, there's a machlokes Rishonim. How should a person prefer to act in such a case where he could have gone to get the water? He should be machmir. But if he really needs it, it's a case where it's a great need, we could rely on Rabbeinu Tam. So this is a very important second exception to the rule. Even though the non-Jew brought it for the Jew himself, if the Jew could have gotten that exact same benefit by just taking a walk, if there's a great need, you could be mekel. Now, I want to point out there is one case over here where we're going to be mekel across the board. Now, I want to just be clear about this distinction. In this case, there was no way that the Jew could have brought this water to where he is. What he could have done was he could have gotten the drink. He could have gotten a cup of water, and he could have drank that water entirely beheter. But there was no way that this Jew could have actually gone to the well and brought the water back home. So that is where things get a little sticky. Because ultimately the water came back home. That's where the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam have that issue. The water came back home. You're right, he could have gotten the drink if he would have walked there, but ultimately the water came back home. And Siman Reish Ayin Vav, source number 9, Siman Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Gimel, the Ramah points to a case where everyone's going to agree it's mutter. And he says as follows, Umutter lomar le'en Yehudi, a person is allowed to tell a non-Jew, Leilach imo litol ner dolak kabar, he's going someplace and it's dark. So he tells his non-Jewish friend, can you please come with me and carry this candle? Why? Hayal ve'eni oiser rak tiltol haner ba'am. The only thing that the non-Jew is violating is mukza. Now, let's assume it's, for argument's sake, the candle is not going to go out. Walking is not going to make the candle go out. There's no issue of kibbuy over here. The only problem over here is mukza. So now, why does that help us? Why does it help us? Is it mukta a problem? So the Jew is violating in Ismi Drabbanan. So why does it help? So it says Mishnah Brura, source number 10, Ratzalomar. Hayov dehu rak iser mukta. Since the only problem over here is mukta, umukta shari ayide tiltam natsad. Mukta, and again, we're not learning mukta right now, but why Mishnah Brura uses the word tiltam natsad and not tiltam begufa is a good discussion. But ultimately, he seems to imply that he's talking about tiltam begufa as he continues. V'kiven de'ibay Yisrael shakalei ba'atzmai ayidei tiltam natsad kagon b'achare yadav, uses the back of his hands, or benetzili yadav, between his elbows. V'kiyotzeva k'shemevi en Yehuda b'Yisrael asnamba. So here Mishnah Brura says something very interesting. The Jew himself could have carried this candle. He could have carried it between his elbows. Right, so it would have been perfectly mutter for the Jew to carry the candle. Now, when he asks the non-Jew to carry the candle, does the non-Jew have any reason to use the back of his hand to carry it? No, because he's not really very concerned about mukta. So the fact that the non-Jew decided to violate what would be a violation of mukta, that's his own decision. That's his prerogative. He can make that choice. But in terms of my benefit, I could have benefited the exact same thing by my action if I would have done it with the back of my hands. So the distinction that we're drawing over here is, in this case, it's going to be mutter according to everybody. You know why? Because the exact action that the non-Jew did, I could have done it in an identical way, which would have been mutter. I could have carried a candle which will illuminate my path if I would have carried it through the back of my hands. The fact that the non-Jew decides to carry it in a more convenient way in his palm, that's his choice. So again, in a case where the non-Jew does something where the accomplishment is ultimately the same, I got my drink of water, that's a case where it gets a little sticky. But in a case where the non-Jew does something which just makes it easier for him. But I could have done the exact same thing and would have been entirely mutter. In such a case, everybody agrees that a person is allowed to benefit from that malacha. We'll continue. Now the next one is a bit more complicated, but we'll try to get it in the next 5 minutes. Anytime we can excuse the action that the non-Jew did as he did it for his own personal motivation, he was motivated by his own benefit, even if he did it explicitly for the Jew, we're going to be matter. What's the case? Let's see very quickly. Source number 11. Nachri Shabal Chabas, a non-Jew comes to put out a fire, to extinguish a fire for a Jew. Don't tell him anything. Say nothing to him. Why? We're not responsible for them. However, if a child comes to put it out, we have to stop them because we have to teach our children to keep Shabbos. It's mitzvah midores. Now, the Gemara gets into a discussion, and the Gemara asks, what's the difference between... I just don't want to take too much time. Let's just skip to source number 12, the Kavasa Gabi Nachri. When the non-Jew does it for the Jew, the Ka'avah Ladai to the Yisrael, Nami Shari. The Gemara is asking, hold on a second. When the non-Jew puts out the fire, why is he putting it out? He's putting it out for the Jew. So why is it mutter? Why are we allowed to let him do it? We should have to stop him. Answers the Gemara, Nachru Ladai to the Nafshi Oven. When a non-Jew puts out the fire, he does it for his own purposes. What does that mean? The Jew's house is on fire. A non-Jew, a nice, kind neighbor, sees the guy's house is on fire. He sees the Jews standing out there pondering. They're all stroking their beards, thinking, what should we do? He says, you know what? You guys take a step back. He pulls out the hose. He puts the fire out. He did that for the Jew. So the Ran, so we'll skip to source number 13, source number 14. He says something very interesting. He says, Nachri daita d'naf sheka klaimar. What this means to say is, Shekal shahu ben das, anybody who has brains, obviously talking about the non-Jew, Afiluk shu mechavin, when he says has brains, he means he has the ability to make that decision, as opposed to a child who really has not reached the maturity to make decisions. Mechavin lahana'aso shal Yisrael adaita denafshei mikri. It's called he's doing it for himself. Why the fee? Shehu shoko ba'atzmo. He makes this decision. Sheroi loy lases kach b'mteish yistaka v'achshav v'achrasman. He knows he's working for a Jew. He knows that he's going to go out. He's going to be sweating his face off all afternoon, putting the fire out. He knows that after Shabbos, he'll get something from the Jew. So ultimately, what the Ran is explaining to us is, when he does it, he's a nice guy. He's doing it because he wants us to benefit, but he knows in the back of his mind, he stands to gain from it. Now, that is not a blanket rule. That is not a blanket rule, and I'll prove it to you. Right. Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's a good discussion. But Marv is in 5 minutes. So. Okay. So now we have to go back to what we read earlier. If it's true that every time a non-Jew does something, he does it for his own purpose, then what we just read a Mishnah about 10 minutes ago which said, if a non-Jew turns a light on for a Jew, he can't benefit from it. So hold on a second. He turned on the light. Who did he turn it on for? Maybe he knows. He'll get something after Shabbos. So why is it Aser? There seems to be a very strong contradiction over here. From one Mishnah it says, if he turns a light on for you, he can't benefit from it because he did it for you. The next Mishnah says, if he puts out a fire, it's fine. It's not a problem. You know why? Because he did it for himself. Which one is true?
So fire, there's an issue. There could be a major hefset, so therefore...
You talk about, so, but in terms of a hefset,
so
you're right.
Why would he think that he'd get rewarded for that?
Why?
I mean, if you save someone from their house burning down, yeah, he's going to pay you, but just for turning on a light for him.
You give him a beer. Okay, so you don't give him $5,000, you give a guy a beer.
Give him was going to burn his house down, too.
All right, if that would be the case, it would be mutter for the Jew to put out the fire. We're talking about a case where that we have to say, Hacha b'maya skinan, it was a fire in his garage, and he had a huge piece of property, nothing else was going to burn. All right. But ultimately, we have to settle this problem. So Tosfos says something very interesting. This is very important to acknowledge. He says, in source number 15, in the underlined portion, when do we say that the non-Jew is working for his own purposes? Where the person doesn't have any physical gain right now from what the non-Jew is doing. When a person's house is on fire, so he has a house. When the non-Jew puts out the fire, all he's doing is he's preventing the rest of the house from being destroyed. So yes, there's a tremendous amount of pleasure in that, but he's not... It's very hard to explain this distinction. But ultimately, the guf Yisrael, the Jew's physical body is not standing to gain from it. When it's dark in the room and you can't read, or you can't walk, you don't know where your things are, you are benefiting right now from what the non-Jew does for you. You cannot ignore the fact that the non-Jew did something for you right now, which you are immediately benefiting from. We can't say, as much philosophy as we're going to throw in here, you cannot excuse the fact that he just did something which the Jew benefited from. So this whole philosophical explanation of he thinks he'll get something from it, ultimately he stands to gain from it, that will work very well as long as we are just taking away, we're taking away something which would ultimately destroy his house. But when he's giving him, he's positively giving him something. When you're removing a negative, it's not going to work. But when you're positively giving him hana right now, that's not going to work. So that's number one. When do we say a non-Jew works for his own benefit? That's when the Jew himself is not physically benefiting from it. However, when the Jew is physically benefiting from it right now, we're not going to use that philosophy. How about if the non-Jew is being paid? He knows from before Shabbos, you worked it out, he's being paid. He's going to get money. Clearly, when he's getting paid, he's doing it for himself. What's the halacha there? So because we're short on time, we'll run through it very quickly. Source number 17 is the Ran. The Ran says anytime he's being paid, regardless of what it is, he turns a light on for you. If he's getting paid for that, no problem. He's doing it for himself. It's not considered he's doing something for the Jew. Hagayas Ashri, he disagrees. He says, incorrect. That's not true. The fact that he's being paid doesn't change anything. The Shabbat Aleka, source number 19, says it depends. It always works like that. Yes, no, and of course there's a depends. Says the Shabbat Aleka, when the hana is immediate, then we're going to say it doesn't help. When it's something which stretches over a long period of time, like making a pair of shoes. That's what it's talking about in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish and Beis. But ultimately, that's what he says. It depends if there's immediate benefit from it. If there's immediate benefit from it, then the fact that he's being paid is not going to help. If there isn't immediate benefit from it, then yes, being paid will help. However, I should throw in, we don't have time to go through the source, any time it's near a kishlucho, for example, he's carrying a letter. It's got the Jew's name on it. In such a case, it's near a kishlucho. He looks like he was sent on Shabbos specifically for this task. That throws things off a little bit. But ultimately, what happens? We have this machlokas. Source number 20, we have the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. Source number 20 and 21, Mishnah Berurah Paskins like the Shibali Haleka. The last one is when it's for the sake of a mitzvah. For example, he brings him a lulav. No one is going to say that if a non-Jew brings you a lulav, you'll be motivated to violate an isser to have a mitzvah baba vera. So ultimately, we have four exceptions. We'll go through them again next week. But what we need to accomplish from this is we need to know these exceptions, because any time we're going to use remiza on Shabbos, that is because it's usher to ask the non-Jew to do it. If you're ever going to be using remiza, that means we're worried that if he benefits from it, then he's going to ask him to do it next week. So we have to use these exceptions to be able to matter benefiting from the malacha of a non-Jew. Anytime remiza is used, we will go through remiza next week in Mitzvah Hashem. Did we make it?